Welcome to the Ignite Podcast, the only healthcare marketing podcast that digs into the digital strategies and tactics that help you accelerate growth. Each week, Cardinals experts explore innovative ways to build your digital presence and attract more patients. Buckle up for another episode of Ignite.
Hey everyone, welcome to Ignite Healthcare Marketing Podcast. My name is Lauren Leone. You guys know me as our Chief Growth Officer. I'm here with Rob Sauter, who is our VP of Owned and Earned Media. We are here to talk about something that you all have probably seen on your feeds, which is the most recent Google SEO core update, affectionately called the spam update. This is a fun one. As marketers who believe in white hat growth SEO, we love these kind of updates because it actually boosts the kind of work that we do, the kind of work that we encourage our clients to do. So Rob, let's jump in. And I want you to just start with telling everybody a little bit about what this update is, why it matters, when it happened.
Sure. Yeah. So it happened just in the beginning of March, and it does take several weeks to roll out. So really sort of happening now, maybe by the time this is posted.
We're in it.
A little bit in the past, but yeah, we're in it now. And like you said, it's a low quality content and spam targeted update. So this is the whole idea. And Google hasn't changed their mind on this for a really long time, but Google's people first, experience first, and they want to make sure that, frankly, Google continues to dominate the search market. And to do that, they have to give people results they're looking for. They're actually very bold. So they, in their opinion, this update is going to actually, and this is out of their mouth, right? A quote from them that said, "We expect that the combination of this update and some of the previous efforts, they're reducing low quality unoriginal content by 40%, right? So that's a huge cut to the spam, to the junk, to what they often refer to as content created for the algorithms. That should help, right? It should help a lot of people find what they're looking for, right? And give people the, you know, match that intent, try to cut down all the keyword stuff, you know, nonsense that AI supported the, you know, execution of, but it existed before AI anyway. Good for good SEO professionals.
Yeah. That's why we like it, right? We hope to see the good guys rising, the good guys being the ones that invest in good content, original content, that understand that writing for the patient is the first objective. But talk a little bit about, so what does writing for the algorithm mean? So all these companies and organizations that are going to potentially be dinged by this that have been not people first, what might it look like? What have they been doing that might get penalized?
Yeah, so there's two different things, and I'll cover the first one, the kind of more complicated one first, because this one's probably less likely, and most people who are not wearing gray or black hats would probably not even know about this one, but there has been some backlink and monetization efforts going on where people were either paying to get strong backlinks from industries they weren't even in, right? Mm-hmm. Boosting their visibility in places they really shouldn't be. Also, people using sort of recycling authority. Again, through backlinks in sort of a black hat way to kind of gain visibility in places where they really have no authority. But they're, again, they're farming that authority through these backlinks and giving themselves opportunities to rank, right? So again, that's manipulation 101 of the algorithm. So that's going away in a big way. But one that people are probably most interested in is this idea of spam, right? So, you know, you ask yourself like, well, I've been using AI. Am I in trouble? It depends. And probably not if you're using AI as an end and not a means to an end. That's generally what Google is trying to stop, right? So there are tools out there where you can just give a couple keywords and set a schedule and say, post one thing a day that targets this keyword, go, and it will just every day post a piece of content ad infinitum. And you can set up a lot of them. That's what they're looking to stop, right? It's unoriginal. It's not being, you know, boosted, supported, made better by a human element. You know, there's no opinion, there's no first party data. It's just pure AI scraping and placing, and that is not good, right? Another thing you see, and it's nice to, I guess it's a good thing to be able to say this, healthcare is not often at the very cutting edge of these types of things, right? It tends to be more battlefield industries, retail, travel, things like that. They're out there also creating pages for keywords. Right. So imagine a page around a specific travel destination. Instead of having one really valuable, nice, solid page where they cover most of main keywords, drive more of the traffic, they'll create 50 pages and they'll tweak just little bits of elements here and there on that page and make sure that they can then rank number one across all 50 of those keywords with effectively the same page. Right. And they can leverage tools like AI and things like that to get that done. And again, that's kind of spammy, right? You don't really need all those pages, and you're really only making those pages to maximize your search engine results page and your search engine performance. Again, that's not what the best user experience calls for. So again, you shouldn't theoretically accidentally find yourself on the wrong end of this update. You should know if you're using something.
We've been doing those things.
Yeah. But a lot of people aren't playing with AI, right? And again, we use AI as well, right? It's a great tool. The trick is it really needs to be an assist and it leads to an end, right? We go through great lengths to find, you know, great quotes, great snippets, great first party data, right? We ask providers, we ask partners, we ask anyone we can find, right? How do we take an element and take a piece of content and enrich it with something that only we have, insight that you can only find from us, again, through that first party, through our experts, through our providers, through our friends, right? That's what separates sort of AI supported data and AI supported content versus just purely spammed AI.
So let's say I'm a CMO and I've been working with an agency, I've got in-house team, I'm not in the weeds. What am I looking for? Like, how do I know if I'm doing the wrong things? Are there any examples I might see in my own content or on my site that may raise a flag to say I could become a victim of this and I should revise my strategy quickly?
Yeah, there's some red flags. Obviously, I think number one is just look at how often you're posting content. If it appears as though recently, suddenly you're posting a lot more content than you were before and you didn't beef up that team or you didn't, you know, hire a new agency or new content organization, there's a good chance there's something going on that may fall into that spam category, but not necessarily. You're probably going to have to ask your team to be transparent, right? You know, especially if you're not in the weeds, you're not going to be able to check for code. You're not going to recognize anything like that. So I think it just comes down to asking the team about the strategy. You may be able to just read the content as well. And if you're not seeing in the, you know, especially the latest content created, especially if you're seeing an uptick in content, you know, are you seeing that first party touch? Are you seeing that care, right? Are you seeing that content quality that's not just sort of more generic, more broad based, more of what AI can get to, right? Are you seeing your own doctors and your own providers quoted? Are you seeing statistics and insights from people at your organization linked and incorporated into these pieces of content? Because if you're seeing all that, then you're probably pretty confident that your team's doing a really good job creating valuable, rich, you know, insightful content that frankly, that can't really be done by AI, not in a generic way at the very least. So those are some of the good things to watch out for. Obviously too, you suddenly see a huge impact to your organic results. It could be that you got smacked and Google found you and found out you were doing something naughty and, you know, punished you for it. And maybe even, either asked you to remove that element or the worst case, right? They've gone through a serious delisting and that's sort of the worst of worst. That is the absolute, what you absolutely want to avoid. Cause even if you get delisted and you do the right things and you change everything and you plead for forgiveness, Google puts you on ice for a little while. Mm-hmm. And when they finally let you off ice, it takes a long time for you to crawl back up to where you were, and it can seriously hurt your business. So the risk reward here, it's a scary one, right? If you're thinking about trying to beat this system, you know, my advice would be probably not worth the risk, because there's another algorithm update coming in the next month or so. And they're not done here.
So I want to get into that in a minute. I want to understand how this algorithm relates to ones that have happened over the past year or two that we know about and ones to come. I do have a question, one more kind of very tactical question on the content side of things of what you might be looking out for. We work with a lot of multi-location clients. So you see strategies like, I have a service, let's say it's a medical dermatology page, and I have 100 locations, and I want to take that really great medical dermatology page, service page, and I want to go into my site structure IA, and I want to do /location/medical dermatology, and I want to have that page 100 times. Does that fall into this? Talk to me about like how organizations might be using content either in multi-site environments or in a single site where they're marketing hundreds of locations. Like what I know that maybe falls a little bit more in the duplicate space, but what should they be looking out for there?
Yeah, I would agree with I was going to say exactly what you just did. That falls more into that duplicative content piece. And there's a way to do that. You can canonical back to a pillar page around that topic, and you can have a link in it, even a, you know, location-based piece of content that said you probably don't want to index that way. You probably don't want to build your site that way. Now, obviously, if you have multiple locations that are not domained on the same website, right, that will not be duplicate because obviously Google will see those as different domains altogether with different scores, et cetera. So in theory, you could use similar content that way. Obviously, you should have a different organic keyword strategy at each location. So the content domain, similar in many ways, would still probably be written differently to push the most important parts of that business, push the location-based keywords for that business, et cetera. I mean, at the end of the day, how different are any dentist's office on Earth, right? I mean, you go, they all offer the same general thing, the same general support, right? You can say that about, you know, physical therapy and, you know, urgent care, right? They all have different doctors, they all have different approaches, different offices, different locations. It's still generally the same service in different places, right? So Google's not looking to hunt you down, but I do think that if you're following the best practices of SEO and SEO strategy, you're probably not doing it that way from an index perspective. You're probably pillaring it back to a core, you know, pillar page around services and care. And if you're not indexed or you're canonical or, you know, stack that other page, you could still have some of that up there. And it wouldn't fall under this, especially if you're also tweaking it to maximize impact at each location. Mm-hmm.
So getting into the algorithms maybe of the past and to come and how the algorithm changes, we know the helpful content update was, you know, that shook some ground in healthcare. We saw it in certain verticals that had tendencies to produce a lot of content for content's sake. Addiction was one of them, for example. How is this different? How is it, you know, a continuation of that initiative? And what do you anticipate is coming next?
Yeah, it's definitely at the core, it's a continuation, right? The goal remains the same, which is make sure that the Google platform is providing good, valuable information and content for individuals. And that still remains some of their key metrics, right? As Google finds out which content to rank, they're looking at things like actual engagement metrics of human people going and engaging with this content. And if people are showing the content's bad by not clicking on it at all or spending very little time, having huge bounce rates, you're already getting punched. So it's a point in which already you need to be helpful. I think the difference in this wave of algorithm updates is this is starting to attack not only the output, but also the means to the end, right? So I would argue that in some ways, this content that you would consider spammy, it's hard to make that really valuable, you know, helpful content. It's tricky. Now, good AI can do pretty good, right? But still, it's a struggle to make really good without having any human involvement at all. AI content, in this case, it's also trying to stop people from sort of pursuing and diving down the funnel of how can I get AI to do all the work and how should I be using AI as a means to an end and a support vessel, right? They're trying to keep good SEO-minded experts and organizations and companies supported, I think, in a way, by giving them tools and giving them guidance and instructions on the right way to do this. And we've seen more, you know, you see more and more updates than we've seen in a long time. And I've always said that if you have a professional team, you consider yourself a professional SEO, bring on the updates, keep them coming, right? The people who are falling asleep at the wheel or the people who aren't doing it the right way, it's only going to hurt them. And if you have that professional group, that professional staff, internal agency, otherwise, this is a good thing. This makes it harder to do SEO well, which means it's going to reward the people who are putting that time, effort, and skill set against it. So I think as we keep moving forward, it's going to be more of the same. I think tech is going to keep moving fast and Google's going to have to keep up with it. We're going to see changes in the way people approach SEO. And, you know, we might even see people starting to try to optimize for AI results and people starting to optimize for some of these other, you know, cool things people are bringing to market. I think interestingly, though, all those concerns you hear, and I wrote about this at one point recently, but all those concerns you hear about search volume dropping and zero click searches rising, it's all true, but I think it's going to impact more the searches. What can I make with chicken for dinner tonight? And who was that actor in that movie? Right? Those are all Google searches that people just don't often think about. We all think about our own business searches, our own context, right? But in reality, healthcare is still going to be a high consideration element. And no matter what, I think it's going to be a long time before you simply just say, hey, ChatGPT, which heart surgeon should I choose? And that you just go with that option without doing any of your own research, right? Yeah. It's just not something our generation is going to be ready for. Maybe our kids will start to get to a point where they have the that level of trust. But you know, at the end of the day, oftentimes what we're talking about in healthcare is our body. And people will go the extra mile, spend the extra time, do the extra research.
And it's interesting, even let's say when that does come, right? We're already focused on, hey, Google, what is the best heart surgeon near me in Atlanta, right? So in theory, you know, it may not shift that much in kind of how we interact. But it is interesting to think, I'm sure we've all seen when you've gone to Google over the past couple of weeks, the little purple like AI dot, 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 kind of trying to generate an answer for you. And I think where I've seen it is in kind of the upper funnel informational research type of queries when we're in performance marketing, this find a solution near me to take an action still is very much going to produce the types of helpful results that bring up, you know, our clients' websites with their location or service pages, providing information on how to go about getting a service.
The answer is not always black and white in healthcare either, right? Just like buying a car. What's the best car for me? There's tons of options. Well, what do you want? You want a fast one? You want a safe one? You want a cheap one? You want a fancy one? It's the same in healthcare in a lot of ways. And you talk about behavioral. There's a lot of different approaches to behavioral nowadays. You can get the classic therapy. You can go to a complete retreat type environment. You can do online therapy. You can do in-person therapy. There's medication. There are some scientific approaches. There's so many different right answers. And especially with HIPAA existing, you know, I still think it's going to be a long, long time before we're inputting that type of personal information into an AI platform that would actually be able to have a good answer for us individually, right? It's still going to be a bit of a, it depends. And that often is the answer when it's a high consideration purchase, right? It's not, you know, what's the best chewing gum, right? That could be an easy suggestion. But when you look,
I don't know, we could debate that probably. Right. Spearmint or peppermint.
Yeah. But you know, it's hard. I don't think AI is going to get to a spot soon where, you know, it's reading our body, and reading our information, reading our preferences, and it rides along in our, you know, sunglasses or our watches or whatever, and really has a best me answer. Because even when you ask ChatGPT now, it often gives you a lot to chew on when you ask those types of questions. It gives you different resources to read. It gives you different, you know, different groups to research. Even when you do something silly, like what are the best SEO tools I should be, you know, researching in 2024? It doesn't just give you a list of three. It ends up dumping a whole long list on you, and it almost encourages you to start clicking around and doing searches, right? So we'll see. We have a lot to learn about how AI is going to affect all this. But at the end of the day, Google makes so much money in search, and their number one goal is to keep it that way and keep people using Google, right? They want to keep Google it needs to remain in the vernacular for as long as they can keep it there. To keep it there, it's all about being reliable. And you've seen generational shifts come, but Google remains pretty central. Facebook isn't cool anymore. If you're under what,
it's not. Five, man,
it's rough.
I thought so.
Right? I don't think Google's cool. It's going here, right? And you know, those types of things change, but Google doesn't want that part to change. They don't want to see Bing take over. They don't want to see DuckDuck or maybe these other ones. Yahoo.
So let me ask you then, Rob, to kind of close us out here. What are you and your team doing differently because of this update?
To be honest, not a lot. We're not the target of this update. Yeah. We've been very clear. We have clients every now and then that say, like, can't we get a little more gray hat? And we usually push against it because it can be short-sighted. And we don't want to make a bunch of wins now. And then a few months later, the whole thing comes, you know, card castling down because we get caught or Google decides it's not the right way to do it. So we do continue to leverage AI and look for new tools all the time to improve how we do and go about the work. There's always new platforms and all kinds of things to consider. But at the end of the day, as far as this specific update's concerned, we're staying the course. Good quality content. We have never been an agency that recommends a high velocity of, you know, we don't want to be the content every day group because we just don't see that work. You know, we see the right, the research, the quality content, you know, on a weekly type basis is the, you know, the pace we like to see. And we spend time looking for those quotes. We spend time looking at reviews from patients or papers or things that providers wrote so we can pull that content in and make it rich and engaging. And again, first party, that's key in digital marketing nowadays. Even in a HIPAA environment, there's so much valuable first party you can pull from each of our clients. And though we are healthcare experts and we know the space, each client's got a little bit of a different thing because they all expertise and, you know, different fame and certain providers and things like that are all tools that they have that others don't. So for now, we're keeping an eye on it. Obviously, we're looking, we love to see when, you know, our competitors or our clients take a hit from things like this. Yeah. see a window to surge ahead, but we're pretty confident in saying we've seen less than a 1% impact across our portfolio from this, which represents the fact that basically 1% is within an error margin anyway at this point. So we were unaffected. So if you're a client of ours and you're seeing this, you know, you're good. You're taken care of.
If you're seeing this and you've either seen it in the results, you know, you're writing 100 articles a month, you read the articles and you just say, there's no way anyone reviewed this, raise your hand, because if you didn't see an impact now, to Rob's point, Google will continue down this path of promoting quality over quantity, of making sure that you're writing for the consumer first, the algorithm second, even though they're the algorithm. So if you don't believe those things are happening, I think those would be the big takeaways from today's conversation. So Rob, thank you so much for joining us. We will continue to bring you all updates as Google rolls out subsequent core algorithm updates or even smaller updates that add on to what we've seen. We'll bring you guys any big news in terms of where we've seen the hit come. As Rob mentioned, we are about a month out right now from the algorithm change, which is when you first start to see results. So we'll let you guys know as we see it. Thanks again for tuning in to this episode of Ignite. And Rob, we'll see you back here soon.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Ignite. Interested in keeping up with the latest trends in healthcare marketing? Subscribe to our podcast and leave a rating and review. For more healthcare marketing tips, visit our blog at cardinaldigitalmarketing.com.